Hello, Calvary Baptist Church family, and any others who are listening to our sermons, or even this sermon. Glad that you are tuning in, and I would certainly encourage and invite you to look to the rest of our website and Facebook page for other things that could be of encouragement to you. Before we go into prayer, want to open up with a call to worship. Call to worship in the book of Psalms, and looking at Psalm 93. Psalm 93. I'm going to open up your Bibles there with me and encourage you to do so. We read these words of God, Psalm 93. Yahweh reigns, He is robed in majesty. Yahweh is robed, He is put on strength as His belt. Yes, the world is established, it shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Yahweh. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, Yahweh on high is mighty. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Yahweh, forevermore. Let's pray. Father, we are humbled and amazed at how mighty, glorious, and awesome you are. All around us, creation is declaring your glory, Father, from the night sky to the sunsets that we see. Father, we see your beauty, we see your power. And Father, we worship and honor you for those things, your beauty and your power and your glory. Father, we do not only worship and honor you for who you are, Father, for what you have done for us who are in Christ, sending your Son Jesus to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, that we are now your children, adopted into your family, that we have forgiveness of sins, the promise of life everlasting, one that has been guaranteed with the pouring of your Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance to come. Father, it is our desire we would worship you not merely as we hear your word preached, but as we hear it preached and do what it says, and as we would then live out every day of our lives for you and for your glory, God. Father, there are many of my brothers and sisters who are and who remain anxious and a bit fearful during this time. Father, pray that you will comfort their hearts, Lord God. Give them a greater and deepening trust in who you are. You sit above all of these things. You sit above the storms and the powerful waters, that you are sovereign over those as well as over diseases and things that we see right here and now, Father. For those who are ill, Lord God, we pray for your healing hand upon those in our body, God. And Father, for all of us, give us a deepening yearning and desire, Father, to worship you with the gathered body. And that deeper yearning, Father, continue to grow and grow, Father, not only up until we meet again, Father, but then even after we meet again into the coming years as well. So, Father, pray at this time that you will bless the preaching of your word. hearers of it, most especially the hearers who are then doers of it too, God. Give us the strength by your Spirit to do what it says, to be amazed at who you are, God, once again, to give you the worship, honor, and praise that you alone deserve. For we ask these things in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, maybe a couple weeks after Easter, but nevertheless, hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. We serve a risen Savior, and thanks be to God for him. Well, turn with me in your Bibles now to Psalm 29. Psalm 29, as we continue our series for every season of the soul. In the book of Psalms, we're in Psalm 29 this day, and begin with the title, and these are the words of God. Psalm 29, a psalm of David. Ascribe to Yahweh, O heavenly beings, ascribe to Yahweh glory and strength. Ascribe to Yahweh the glory due his name. Worship Yahweh in the splendor of holiness. The voice of Yahweh is over the waters. The God of glory thunders Yahweh over many waters. The voice of Yahweh is powerful. The voice of Yahweh is full of majesty. The voice of Yahweh breaks the cedars. Yahweh breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of Yahweh flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of Yahweh shakes the wilderness. Yahweh shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of Yahweh makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all cry glory. Yahweh sits enthroned over the flood. Yahweh sits enthroned as king forever. May Yahweh give strength to his people. May Yahweh bless his people with peace. The grass withers and the flower fades. The word of our God will stand forever. Amen. Well, think back with me on the previous chapters of the book of Psalms. And while we have studied the previous 28 chapters, it hasn't been in consecutive weeks here, but over the course of several series over the past several years. Turn back to Psalm 8 and you will see David referencing creation during a moonlit night. And then turn ahead to Psalm 19 from there, and we are in the brilliance of the sunshine by day. Creation all around us declares the glory of God. And all around us we see his beauty and his power that are on display. And our response is to be one of worship and honor and praise to the maker of them all. And as we come to then Psalm 29, we are again shown a picture of creation, but much more is at play here as David writes this psalm for us. For starters, the heavenly beings are commanded, as David writes, to ascribe to Yahweh glory and strength. Well, what does ascribe mean? For the word is repeated in these opening two verses three times. What does David mean? What does the Holy Spirit mean? Well, ascribing here is giving what is one's rightful due. So, to Yahweh, we are to ascribe glory and strength, giving to him what is his rightful due. To ascribe to him the glory that is due his name. Now, in English translations, we simply see the personal covenantal name of God here as the capital L-O-R-D. All capital letters. And if you are unaware of the fact that this is God's covenantal name, that this is God's name, you could read this psalm and think, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Glory due his name. Well, whatever that is. But God's name appears 18 times in this short and powerful psalm. 18 times. in these 11 verses. Yahweh is God's personal covenantal name. And why is glory and strength his rightful due? Well, ascribing to Yahweh is not only giving to him his rightful due, but doing so by recognizing an attribute that is already there. Yahweh is all glorious, therefore ascribe to him glory. Yahweh is mighty, Yahweh is strong and all powerful, therefore ascribe to him the glory due his strength. The question then now becomes, that's what ascribe means. Who is David calling on to ascribe to God glory and strength and the glory due his name? Well, obviously, in a very real sense, all of creation is called to glorify God. But David writes here in the opening verse, O heavenly beings, as ESV translates it. But the ESV also has a footnote. And you look at that footnote and it says, the Hebrew, sons of God or sons of might. Matthew Henry writes and states that it is sons of the mighty ones. Mighty ones, not just sons of might, singular, because it's in the plural here. Sons of mighty ones, referring to princes and rulers. And the great sin of these rulers is their forgetfulness of God, their refusal to give him glory, the glory due his name. And this would link, then, Psalm 29 back to Psalm 2. Where kings of the earth are gathered together not to worship Yahweh, but rather gathered together against Yahweh and against his anointed one. However, our God sits in the heavens and he laughs at the feeble attempts of these kings of man to attack him. They cannot do anything and are instead called upon to submit to the Son. In some passages of the Old Testament, this refers to heavenly beings, just as the ESV translates it here, meaning angels. But of course, the angelic hosts are already ascribing to God the glory due his name. We see that in Isaiah 6, where the seraphim call out one to another, Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. They're already ascribing to Yahweh the glory due his name. For Yahweh is holy, holy, holy. So then, is it not heavenly beings? Well, maybe it's referencing fallen heavenly beings. Which would it be? Is it a matter of being either princes and rulers or fallen heavenly beings? Well, of course not. It is likely ambiguous because it is looking to encompass both. And again, in reality, everything that has breath is to give God his rightful due, which is the worship for who he is. But here, David is calling out princes and rulers and fallen heavenly beings and calling on them, ascribe to Yahweh, ascribe to him glory and strength, the glory due his name. And then verses 3 through 9 lay out before us a powerful storm. And at the very center of the storm is the voice of Yahweh himself. How many times do we see the phrase, the voice of Yahweh, in the English Bible, right? The voice of the Lord. How many times do you see that in verses 3 through 9? Go ahead and take a moment and count them. Seven times. Here we see the sevenfold voice of Yahweh. And what passage of Scripture comes to mind when we think about the voice of Yahweh and the number seven? Maybe Genesis chapter 1, perhaps? Right, David writes here in Psalm 29:3, the voice of Yahweh is over the waters. In Genesis 1:2, we read that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The sevenfold voice of Yahweh created everything in the universe in 6 days. God said, let there be light. And there was light. David, he prayed in Psalm 28 that Yahweh be not silent to him. And don't turn a deaf ear to me. Don't be silent toward me. And Yahweh in Psalm 29 is coming in a powerful storm. The voice of Yahweh. Now, one of the modern commentaries, and likely some others along with it, that I read this past week, said that David was observing this great storm coming off the Mediterranean Sea and passing down from Lebanon in the north to Syrian, which is more central, and then down to the wilderness of Kadesh in the south. But is that all that the Holy Spirit is speaking about here? Is this just a powerful storm that David had experienced and that reminded David of Yahweh's might, of his greatness? Certainly storms do that. Right? When a storm comes rolling over Lake Misaki, we rightly recognize that God has created it. God is behind this great display of power. But we wouldn't typically say that God is in the storm, and rightly so. But what about here in Psalm 29? The sevenfold voice of Yahweh is front and center. Is this just a big thunderstorm? I'd say to you, no. Saying to you that Yahweh oftentimes comes to his people in a storm, you might think of a passage like 1 Kings 19, where Yahweh comes to the prophet Elijah, not in a great and strong wind, not an earthquake, nor a fire. He was above and he was the one behind these great displays of power. But here, he was in a still small voice, as the King James translates it. And this is true, for Yahweh knew what his prophet needed. But let me remind you of how Yahweh came to Job. Job 38:1. Then Yahweh answered Job out of the whirlwind. There's a storm for you. And when he came to the people of Israel on Mount Sinai, it was a thick cloud, thunder, lightning, and loud trumpet blast. Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke as Yahweh descended on it in fire. The voice of Yahweh brings forth creation, but it also can cause creation to come undone. The mountain there, Mount Sinai, shook even as the people trembled. Right? The voice of Yahweh is powerful, and here we see that in Psalm 29. Yahweh breaks the cedars of Lebanon. These were the greatest and the strongest and the mightiest among trees in the land. That is why Solomon uses the cedars of Lebanon to build the temple of Yahweh, following his father David's death. These cedars are pictured as snapping like toothpicks. Yahweh's voice shakes creation itself. As we see in verse 8. And even animals are skipping and jumping at the sound of his voice. His voice flashes flames of fire, lightning bolts, even as we saw when he descended upon Mount Sinai. And to show that this isn't merely a thunderstorm, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. The chapter's probably not as familiar with many of us. But turn to Ezekiel 1. And Ezekiel, real quick as you're turning there, was among the exiles of Israel in Babylon. And he was by the Kabar Canal. And he sees a great storm approaching out of the north, dark clouds coming toward him. Turn to Ezekiel 1 and jump down to verse 4. We read several verses here, but do a little bit of jumping. Verse 4, as I looked, behold, prophet writing, a stormy wind came out of the north in a great cloud with brightness around it, fire flashing forth continually. And in the midst of the fire, as it were, gleaming metal. From the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had a human likeness, but each had four faces, and each of them had four wings. Now jump down to verse 10. As for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face. The four had the face of a lion on the right side. The four had the face of an ox on the left side. And the four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces, and their wings were spread out above. Each creature had two wings, each of which touched the wing of another, while two covered their bodies. And each went straight forward. Wherever the Spirit, capital S, would go, they went, without turning as they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches moving to and fro from among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creatures, one for each of the four of them. And now jump down to verse 22. Over the heads of the living creatures, there was the likeness of an expanse, shining like awe-inspiring crystal, spread out above their heads. And under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight, one toward another, and each creature had two wings covering its body. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army. When they stood still, they let down their wings. And there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads. When they stood still, they let down their wings. And above the expanse over their heads, there was the likeness of a throne, an appearance like sapphire. And seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness of a human appearance. And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, gleaming metal like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and there was brightness around him, like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yahweh. And when I saw it, I fell down on my face, and I heard the voice of one speaking. When Ezekiel sees this great storm cloud approaching him from the north, he captures a glimpse inside the storm. And what he sees is the glory of the Spirit of God, for it has departed from Israel and is racing across the wilderness to be with his people. As the living creatures darted to and fro, it's like lightning flashing. Picture of God's glory is being carried on the mighty cherubim through a dark storm, and Ezekiel likens it to the sound of an army or the many waters or the voice of Yahweh. And Ezekiel comes undone. That language isn't used here as it is in Isaiah 6, but Ezekiel falls down on his face. It's like a dead man. It is there in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1, the very next verse, the Spirit of God speaks to the prophet. Gets him on his feet, raises him back up. In Psalm 29, Yahweh is closely tied to the storm with his sevenfold voice. And because of that, it's not just another passing thunderstorm off the Mediterranean. David certainly saw many of those. This is, as one pastor said, the thunderous glory cloud of the Spirit of Yahweh himself, just as it was to Ezekiel the prophet all those years later. And he has come to devastate, here in Psalm 29, and destroy Israel's enemies and to uphold his people in protection. The presence of Yahweh destroys and builds up according to his set purposes. This upholding of his people is seen particularly in the closing verse of this middle section, in verse 9. Look again there with me. The voice of Yahweh makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. Now, Hebrew, as most of the Old Testament is written in Hebrew and some Aramaic, Hebrew has, its words are formed with three-letter roots. Big word you could see written in Hebrew, and it boils down to a three-letter root. And depending on the prefixes and the suffixes that are added to it, the same root word can have different meanings. Okay, so the word translated here, forest, at the end of verse 9, or kind of the middle of verse 9, I suppose, is a typical masculine version of the noun. But our noun in verse 9 is feminine, which is translated honeycomb. So verse 9 should read like this: the voice of Yahweh makes the deer give birth and uncovers the honeycomb. And in his temple, all cry glory. Now, the reason the translators go probably with forest here, and even you get a footnote about the first part of the verse that mentions that if there's some revocalization of the vowels, then makes the deer give birth could actually be makes the oaks to shake. You know, that makes oaks to shake, strips the forest bare. That seems to connect with the rest of this psalm, breaking cedars of Lebanon and shaking the wilderness of Kadesh. But it seems like the author, David, and ultimately the Holy Spirit, is intending a shift here. The powerful voice of Yahweh that causes creation to become undone. There's also the powerful voice that brought creation to existence. And what's more, what comes to mind when you think about honey or the honeycomb? The promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey. A source of blessing to the people. So Yahweh's voice destroys the enemies of his people and gives life. Makes the deer give birth. Gives life. Gives blessing. Honeycomb. And produces worship in his people, for all in the temple cry, glory. Voice of Yahweh gives life, gives blessing, produces worship in us. As we come to the closing two verses, we see that Yahweh, enthroned as king, pouring out blessings upon his people. Yahweh sits enthroned, verse 10, over the flood. Yahweh sits enthroned as king forever. May Yahweh give strength to his people. May Yahweh bless his people with peace. Yahweh sits enthroned over the flood. And the flood really should here be a capital F, since it refers to the global flood in Noah's day. Well, how do we know that? The only other use of this Hebrew word, or uses, I should say, of this Hebrew word that we see here in Psalm 29:9 is found in Genesis chapters 6 through 11. What took place then? The flood. And references to the flood that had just taken place, chapters 10 and 11. And what was it that took place in the flood? God burst through the firmament and released the waters from above the firmament to wipe the wicked from the face of his creation while saving his chosen ones, Noah and his family, along with the animals that were on the ark. At the end of Psalm 28, we saw last week that Yahweh is the strength of David and is the strength of his people. And in Psalm 29, we're told that the God of strength, they're calling on Yahweh, the God of strength, to give strength to his people. He blesses his people with peace. He's a giving and a gracious God. He is the king who brooks no rivals. None can stand against him. The voice of Yahweh is this powerful in creation, and so too is it powerful as we have been given the very words of God in Scripture. And if that wasn't enough, God sent his Son, the Word of God, capital W, who took on flesh. The very God who upholds creation is the Son of God himself who entered into creation. Read the Gospels, and when Jesus speaks, it is one who speaks with authority, not like the scribes, the people notice. For example, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and everyone who murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, and whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment." Right? Jesus spoke with authority. Jesus spoke and demons trembled pathetically before him. And with a simple command, Jesus spoke to the wind. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the storm was instantly calmed. Jesus has come. And as a result of our faith in Jesus Christ alone, brothers and sisters, we have peace with God. He has given to us a peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, a peace that is very much needed for so many in this time that we are finding ourselves in. He has also given to his people strength. He's poured out his Spirit into us. Yes, us individually, but us as the body of Christ who have trusted in Christ. As the pastor said, God's storm came down at Pentecost. And rather than destroying the disciples, they were strengthened, for they were hidden behind locked doors. And then these disciples go forth and turn the world upside down by their proclamation of the word of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we bear the word of God and are commanded to go into all the world to see, as the disciples in the early church did, our world turned upside down. In our day. And how will we see that? By declaring from the rooftops, by declaring from the mountaintops, by declaring everywhere that we go that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is a word that angers the world. But it also changes it too. Jesus is Lord. Will you bow your knee willingly now and trust in Jesus? Or will you perish in his path? Where can the Lord's presence be greatly experienced right now? In the gathering of the body of Christ. The Lord is with his people, having poured out his Holy Spirit upon us. And we collectively make up the body of Christ. When we gather together to worship our King, we are promised that he is with us, and with us in a glorious way. For the gathered body, we worship him with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We sit under the authority of God's word as it is preached. We partake of the Lord's Supper, communion. And all of these things God uses to feed our souls week in and week out. How devastating to us then when we aren't gathered together at this particular point in history. Right? How would our brothers and sisters in Christ of old respond to a crisis like COVID-19? We can all have our opinions, but some of these questions remain likely unanswered in part. But what we do know is that our God and King Jesus, especially and specifically present with his people, when we gather. And it is the voice of Yahweh, specifically his word, that we sit under to be fed and to be strengthened by for the evangelization of the nations and for the glory of our King. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we humbly ask that you will help us to see your greatness, not just in creation, though we see it there, but your greatness as we, your people, gather together to worship you. Father, we would recognize the strength that has been given us by your spirits to go into creation, to make known to the nations that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father, that we would see our own community of Lake City turned upside down, men, women, and children submit to Christ, trusting in him and him alone. And Father, you would be pleased to use us for this all-important work. And may we remember, God, at this time, that Christ Jesus has given us a peace that surpasses understanding, that we have peace with you, glorious, mighty, and awesome God. We're at peace with you through our faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Father, for that, we give you alone the glory and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Love you.